Let me open us with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning, this day, Lord, that you have blessed us with. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have now to spend some time together and to ponder and to think about, Lord, the work that you are doing across this world and especially in the country of Cambodia. So we pray, Lord, for your blessing upon this time. I pray you would give me the words to speak, and I pray, Lord, that this time would help us all to catch a glimpse of the work you are doing and to get excited about the work of missions overseas. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Brennan, and let me introduce my family to you as well. It's just me here today, my wife Becca is there in the middle, and then we have three kids. Benjamin, who's the oldest, he's there in the middle. He's 6 years old. Lucy, our daughter, she just turned 4 last week. And then Titus, he is about 1.5 years old. And then we have one on the way as well. So that's our family, and we are missionaries in the country of Cambodia. And so I'm really grateful to be able to be here this morning and to share with you a little bit about what that's like. So I have some pictures for you if you want to look at that. And actually, maybe I have some books. I'll just pass these around. Feel free to look through those. These are just some pictures of things from Cambodia, just to give you a little idea of what Cambodia is like. So can you do that? Just if you want to look through the books a little bit and then pass them around, and we'll collect them at the end. So I'll give you the brief backstory. So this is my wife here, and then I'm up at the top. We actually met each other through relationships that we had in Cambodia. So I was an intern in Cambodia in 2015, as well as my wife. We weren't there at the same time, but we worked in the same village in Cambodia, and we taught English to the same students in Cambodia. And we worked with the same missionaries. And long story short, my wife started to get messages on Facebook from some of the students while I was there, and they were saying, "Teacher Becca, do you have a boyfriend yet? Because we think we found someone for you." So anyway, when I got back to America a few months later, Becca and I, we connected online. I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My wife is from Rochester, Minnesota. So we were living far apart, so we did a lot of video talks and phone conversations. And then eventually, after I graduated seminary, we got engaged a few months after that, and then I moved to Minnesota. And so that's how I ended up in the Midwest. So that's a little bit about our backstory. And so it's very neat now that we are back together in Cambodia, because that is how, in God's providence, we first met each other. I don't know how much you know about Cambodia. I'll just share a little bit with you. You can see Cambodia here on the map. This is Southeast Asia. So this is China up here, and this is south of China. This is a very hot part of the country, very tropical type climate. We have a rainy season and a dry season. But Cambodians like to joke that there's a hot season and a very hot season, because it is hot all year round. It usually does not get below, you know, about 75 degrees, even at night, all year round. So very hot. Cambodia is a Buddhist country. Primarily, it's about 95% or more who profess to be Buddhists. That is their primary religion. And it's about 16 million people who live in Cambodia. Cambodia, for those who are interested, it's about the size of Oklahoma. That's the U.S. state that it's closest in size to. So it's not very big, but there are a lot of people there comparatively. And most of Cambodia is still very rural, probably like Pollock. But I mean, it's different, of course, because it's Cambodia and you have palm trees and you have rice fields. But most Cambodians, 75% or more of Cambodians, still live in rural villages across the country, and you have dirt roads. You have these These are the cows that they have in Cambodia. Very different from the cows we have in America. They're very skinny. They don't use these cows for milk. They use them to help plow the rice fields, and I think they use them for meat as well. But it's the beef there is not the best beef. I'll just say that. But this is a common scene, even going along the roads. This is a picture I took once where the cows will just block the road and you have to honk and get around them. But we are actually, we're not in a village right now. We are in Phnom Penh. Phnom Penh is the capital city of Cambodia, and it is growing very rapidly. Over the past 20 or so years, more and more people continue to move to the city because that is where the universities are, that is where the jobs, a lot of jobs are, this is where the better healthcare is at. So we have a lot of people moving to Phnom Penh right now. It is probably over 3 million people who are in Phnom Penh, and it continues to grow very rapidly. I just have a few pictures from Phnom Penh. These are, I don't know if anyone's ever seen these before, these are called tuk-tuks. This is a mode of transportation in Phnom Penh. A lot of people will, you can use your phone, there's an app for it, and you can go on and call a tuk-tuk to come pick you up. Our kids love to ride on these things. It's one of their favorite things. They'd probably prefer to ride in these than in our car, but you see these often in Phnom Penh. Here's a motorcycle, and here you see a whole family on a motorcycle. This is also pretty common. There's 5 people on this motorcycle. Sometimes a whole family will cram together on a little motorcycle. And then the traffic in Phnom Penh is very bad. You can see here, just there's motos, tuk-tuks, cars, just all around you, and they're zigging and zagging by you as you're driving. So you have to be very careful, and it took a long time for us to learn how to drive in Cambodia, because it's very different than driving here in America. And then here's just a few pictures from the markets. A lot of Cambodians, they go to the markets to buy their daily food. These are some, I think, chickens or I don't know exactly, not chickens. You guys probably know better than I do. And then they sell a lot of seafood and other type of meats. They'll just hang it, again, off these like hooks and stuff in the market, and people go in, and that's where they often buy their daily food and fruits and vegetables and so forth. So now in Cambodia, we're part of a team. We work with Mission to the World, which is the missions organization of the PCA. And we're working with several other missionaries in Cambodia. There's 5 families, and then there's 2 singles as well that are part of our team. And we're a pretty diverse team, a lot of different backgrounds, and we're involved in lots of different work. But we have a common vision. We love the church, and we want to see churches planted in Cambodia. We want to see Jesus Christ glorified through the preaching of the gospel and the planting of churches. But that said, we're involved in lots of different work. Some of us are working more with pastors and doing theological training and education. One of our teammates here, he's a physician's assistant, and he does some medical work. And then his wife has actually started a dorm to help care for young girls who've been rescued out of sex trafficking. And then we have some other teammates. One of them, his name's John here in the middle. He does business as missions. He works, help to train Cambodian men and women who are starting up their own businesses. So a lot of different work we're involved in, but we bring all of it back to the church. We want to connect everything to the local church, and we want to continue to see more churches planted throughout Cambodia. So we're very grateful for our team. This is a picture when our family first arrived in Cambodia, which was about 3 years ago. We've been in Cambodia since July of 2021. And actually, when we got there, it was in the midst of a big COVID outbreak. So what we had to do was they sent us to this hotel for 2 weeks, and we had to be in quarantine. We had to stay in our hotel room, and we couldn't go out into the city at all, and they did COVID tests on us, and thankfully it went pretty well, and it was a time for us to recover from our long travels to Cambodia. But this is our family when we first arrived. And then our first year when we were in Cambodia, we spent a lot of time doing language learning. We believe that it's very important to learn the language of the local people so that we can speak their language, so that we can communicate God's word and the gospel to them in their own heart language. And so The first year we spent doing full-time language school. We had a class Monday to Friday, and then we also met with tutors throughout the week, trying to learn the language as best as we could. Now, a lot of it was online because of COVID, so we had to join a lot of our classes over Zoom, and that's how we did a lot of it. And I think we were skeptical at first, how well can we learn a language over you know, the computer and Zoom? But surprisingly, we're just very grateful that God helped us to establish a good base for our language during that time. This is the Cambodian alphabet. It's a fun fact, this is the largest alphabet in the world. There are, here on the left are the consonants. There are 33 consonants, and then on the right are our vowels. There's over 20 vowels, and a lot of the vowels make two different sounds as well. So, as you can imagine, learning to read and to write Cambodian language took a long time, and it is still something we are learning to do. Language learning, I compare it to climbing a mountain. It's something that you really never finish doing. You continue to learn more and more, and sometimes you fall back. Sometimes you feel really dumb and you don't know. I've made a lot of silly mistakes over the past few years, and I still continue to do make silly mistakes, as well as my wife. So we have a good grasp of the language. I wouldn't say that we're fluent per se, but we can, depending on the situation and what we're talking about, we can understand a good amount and we can communicate what we desire most of the time. But we are continuing to meet with tutors. So the first year we focused primarily on language learning, but even now we continue to meet with tutors throughout the week. Here's a few of the tutors I've met with, and then a few of the tutors my wife has met with as well. And even while we're here in America, we're doing some online tutoring over Zoom because you don't have many opportunities to speak the language while you're here in America. So we wanted to stay fresh. And so we're still doing that a few times per week as we're able. So this is our home church. It's called Khmer Christian Church. And this is in Phnom Penh. I mentioned that we love the local church. We want to see more churches planted. And so within Cambodia, we are working with about 10 to 12 different churches. Most of them are in the city, that capital city of Phnom Penh that I mentioned, but there's a few in the villages as well. But this is our home church. This is the church that we go to on most Sundays. And I don't know how well you can see, but most of the church here is very young people. It's college students and young adults. And this is very common in our experience for our churches. They're mostly young people. The older generation, generally, they're not as open to Christianity. They're not as open to coming to church and hearing the gospel. But the young people, we found a lot more fruit and success by ministering to them. And so this is our church that we go to, and it's probably 95% or so college students. Not many families yet, and not a lot of older people. And that poses its own unique challenges for us, which maybe I'll talk a little bit later. But this is our home church right now. And this was our old building. We actually just recently, though, got this. Well, first I'll explain this. This is when our son Titus, he was baptized in this church about a little over a year ago. So he was born at the end of 2022, and this is in 2023, where one of the Khmer pastors, this is Pastor Som At, he's one of the pastors of Khmer Christian Church, and he was able to baptize our son Titus after he was born, which was very special for us, because you don't see infant baptisms and covenant baptisms very often because there are not many families right now. It's all young adults and college students. So that was a special time. This is our new building where we're worshiping in, and it's a multi-purpose building. We have a sanctuary on one floor, but then we also have some office spaces for our MTW team. And then actually on the top two floors are dorms. So a lot of students will come from villages to study at college, but they need a place to live and stay at, and they often don't have very much money. And so we have a ministry directed towards the college students where they can come and they live really above the church, and they're involved in the church. They have different Bible studies and things that they go to, and it's a way for us to minister to them. Most of them are Christians, but some of them are not, and So this is a very multi-purpose building, which MTW helped to fundraise money for this and help to build this. And we're really thankful for it because it's a much needed improvement over our prior location. So this is, again, just a picture of the sanctuary here that you can see what it looks like in Cambodia for our worship. Now, in this building is also where I teach this Bible study class. We call it Brea Bontune Jivit, which is the Word of Life Bible class. And this class has been going on for a number of years, but I took over teaching it about 2 years ago. One of our teammates, unfortunately, he had to leave Cambodia, and he had been teaching this, and so it ended up working out in God's providence that I was finishing language, and I was able to jump in and take over for him. And so it is mostly young adults and college students, about 30 to 40 young men and women, and we gather every Tuesday evening to study God's Word together. We've been studying recently through the Gospel of Mark, slowly working our way through that, but we've also done the Book of Jonah and the Book of Ruth, and this is one of the highlights of my week. A lot of very eager young men and women, they come, a lot of them take notes, and they're very focused and engaged with what we're learning, and so that's exciting for me to see that. I'm really grateful. There's been a lot of growth over the past few years. Different churches that we're working with are starting to encourage their students to come more and more. We actually did a gingerbread house making competition for them last Christmas, which is fun. You know, Cambodians, Christmas is still a fairly new holiday to them. And then they had never, ever heard of like a gingerbread house and what that is like. But we ordered all these gingerbread kits and we've split them up into groups and we had a little competition. And they had a lot of fun with that, and they did very good. As you can see, some of these houses are very creative. And so, that's been a fun activity. We like to do fun fellowship activities for them whenever we're able to give them opportunities just to spend time together with each other as well as with us. Because the church is so young, there's a really great need for discipleship. Because a lot of these Christians, they're very young Christians. Their parents are not Christians. And they have a lot of questions about the Christian faith and how to walk as a follower of Jesus. So we love to just spend time with them, give them opportunities to see our lives and to have safe times of fellowship together. So this picture back here, we went to the water park. There's a water park about 30 minutes north of Phnom Penh, and they really loved that as well. So we do different activities as we're able from time to time. Now, one of the other ministries I'm involved in is preaching and teaching. There's a few different churches that are part of our presbytery that I go and I preach at. So this is one of them. This is called PCC. This is another church called Living Stone. And then this is our home church, KCC. And so a lot of the pastors, they're very busy. Most of them are bivocational because a lot of churches have very small amounts of tithes and offerings. It's not enough to support a pastor. And so most of the pastors have other jobs outside the church. And so it's very nice for them when someone else is able to fill in and preach every so often. And so one of my teammates, as well as myself, we go to a few different churches and we help to preach on Sundays whenever they need some assistance. So it's been a joy to be able to do that. Now, most of my teaching and preaching, I still do most of it in English, and then I work with a translator. So some of these pictures, you can see the pastor there, he's translating for me into Khmer. And my goal is to be able to do most of it in Khmer by the end of year 5. And so far, we're about 3 years in. I could do it in the Cambodian language if I had to, but it just takes so long, and it's a little cumbersome, and I'm still not very comfortable. So I still am usually using a translator, and we'll see. I'm hoping I can start to do more and more in the local language and less in English as I learn more of the language. But I've had the opportunities to teach on a few different subjects as well. I got to teach the pastors at a pastor's retreat on the topic of family worship. And then every year we have a big, big youth retreat where we have almost 150 to 200 young adults and college students, even high school students, gather together for a few-day retreat. And I've been able to teach at a few of these retreats in the past as well. Recently, I did a few lessons, which you can see here on the left. I did some lessons on dating and relationships, which is something that a lot of Cambodians are thinking about, especially we're working with a lot of young adults who are thinking about dating and marriage and so on. And so we wanted to provide from a Christian biblical perspective how to think about those issues. So I was able at our recent church retreat to do some teaching on that. And then on the right, this is our recording studio at that building I showed you earlier, the big tall white building. We have a recording studio inside. And so I met with my teammate Soka, who's a Cambodian, and she speaks very good English as well, but she helped to translate a few lessons on dating and relationships for me. And we actually put those on YouTube, and we're hoping that we can provide more resources and put them online to give different pastors and Christians access to these different teachings. So we're grateful for that opportunity. And then one other ministry I'll share briefly about that I'm doing is this village pastoral training. A lot of pastors in Cambodia, they have not gone to seminary or Bible school, or some of them, they don't have access to the resources that we have here in America. So I see all of these books here. You have a lot of books at this church, and that is a really great thing. It's a blessing to be able to find books and to read and learn about God and theology. In Cambodia, they don't have that. And a lot of the pastors don't have many books either. And that makes it challenging for them as they want to lead their churches well and to grow in their knowledge of God's word. And so I'm working with this young man. His name is Beck. And I go to his village. He lives in a village about 2 hours from Phnom Penh. And I try to go to his village about two times a month, and then I'll spend the day with him training and teaching him God's word. Right now, we're studying through the Shorter Catechism, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and then I'm also doing some lessons on preaching for him, because he told me, he said, I need help preaching. He has this little church plant that he's working with, but he's never learned how to write a sermon or how to preach effectively. So I've been meeting with him and doing some lessons, and I hope to continue to do that when I go back, and I'm just trying to help equip and train him. He is actually, he's under care of our presbytery, and he's hoping to be ordained in the near future, but he's a joy to work with. He has a great heart. He loves the work that he's doing, but it's also very challenging. Working in these villages can often be very spiritually dark. He faces a lot of, not physical persecution, but just a lot of people that don't like him because of what he's doing in this village. And so a lot of pressure. And but he's been very faithful through it. But you can be praying for him. His name is Beck. Young man about my age, and I'm hoping to continue to equip and train him for the work that he's doing. So just a picture when I was able to go out to his village and do some training with him. And then my wife actually knows him as well from when she was there in 2015. So she's had a long relationship with him, and he has a family as well, his wife, and he has one son. So I was able to baptize a few boys from his church a few months ago when they made a profession of faith, and we did a little interview with them. And so that was a special time when I was able to go out to his village and do that. And then we're also working, so I mentioned we have a presbytery. This is a picture of the men in the presbytery. We call it the Cambodian Presbyterian Association. It's a group of probably 10 to 15 men. Almost all of them are Cambodian, native Cambodians. And then there's a few of us MTW missionaries who are working with the presbytery as well. But we meet about once a month for our presbytery meetings to discuss our churches, to pray for our churches, and then to talk about different things that we're thinking about for the future, ways to grow together. So we have this pastor's retreat every year that we do for all the families of the pastors. And then recently, we've also been doing ordination exams. We have five men. This is really exciting. We have five men who are in the midst of joining our presbytery. This here is Vendette, here on the left. And he actually just got ordained before I came back to America. And there's four other men as well who are, we did some examinations for them, both written exams and then oral exams. before they become ordained. And so I was able to be a part of that process, and it was really encouraging to see. And so the presbytery is meeting together to do things like this, as well as every month, just to discuss the ongoing work of the church. Right now, the presbytery is also working on writing our own book of church order as well. This is, I don't know if any of you know what the book of church order is. It's this big blue book that gives just different roles and directions for the church and how to work things out when you have different discipline cases or just guidance for the different churches within the presbytery. So we're working on that now as well. It's really been exciting to be a part of that process. This is when Pastor Vendette, he was ordained again end of June, and we were able to have a really special ordination service for him. And then I'll share just a little bit more, and I'm really grateful as well for my wife, and I just want to focus on her a little bit because she's a really important part of the work we are doing in Cambodia, and I couldn't do it without her. And I'm really grateful for her heart, especially her heart of hospitality, and she loves to make meals. She loves to have people into our household, and so we like to invite college students and young adults who are part of our church. They come to our houses, to our house every so often. We have a meal with them. We do family worship with them. We just have opportunities to talk together and get to know them better. And so we've had lots of groups of students over to our house over the past few years. And our kids love it as well. And again, just gives us opportunities to get to know them better, develop relationships with them, and to disciple them, because they don't have a lot of older people that they can look up to for wisdom when they don't understand something or when they need some guidance. So we're hoping to provide opportunities for them to get to know us and to create a safe space where they can approach us and have any questions. We like to play Uno. Uno is a pretty popular game in Cambodia, and the college students in particular love it, and our kids love to play with them, so we like to do that as well. These are a few young girls. Their names are Gentria and Retsa, and they have started coming over to our house once every week. They just came to Phnom Penh from the village, and they are actually, we knew them when we worked in the village in 2015, but now they're all grown up, they're college students, they're studying English at college. And my wife has been able to develop a pretty good relationship with them over the past several months. They expressed the desire to come to our house because they were feeling lonely and they just wanted some people to be with. And they're wonderful. They eat all our leftover food. They help us clean our dishes. They play with our kids and help babysit them. And so they've been a blessing to us in a lot of ways, and I hope that we're able to be a blessing to them as well. As we continue to get to know them better. And I'm really grateful for my wife. She's been able to develop a really good relationship with them, and we're excited about how that will continue to develop over the next few years. And here's just a few other pictures. This is one of our nannies. Her name is Sok Lang, and she's come to our house to help watch the kids, especially when we were in language school and we were studying. She would come watch our kids during language school, and she still continues to come about once a week. And she's a young believer, but has not been a Christian for very long, but she is a professing believer. And so we've had opportunities to talk with her about her faith as well over the past couple years. So here's a picture playing basketball. Some Cambodians are starting to play basketball a little bit. We'd like to do that from time to time. Soccer is the main sport in Cambodia that people like to play, but volleyball and basketball are growing in popularity, and we've had opportunities to have different fellowship sporting outings whenever we're able. And then lastly, I'll just mention about homeschooling. Sometimes people ask, what's the schooling like in Cambodia? Well, there are some international schools in Phnom Penh where some missionaries send their students, their children to these international schools that are Christian international schools for missionary kids. But right now we've started some homeschooling, and really grateful for my wife who is doing a lot of the bulk of the work with this, especially with our oldest son, Benjamin, who just started about a year ago doing some homeschooling. And that's our plan for right now. And we might change in the future. We don't know. But currently, that's what we're doing in Phnom Penh. And then as for our daily life in Cambodia, we have a lot of young kids. They're busy, they like to be outside, but it's very hot in Cambodia, so we like to swim a lot. We have this little swimming pool outside of our house, and then the kids have been doing swimming lessons recently. Our son Benjamin recently did soccer lessons, and he really enjoyed that. And then we have this neighborhood that we live in, which is really nice as well. And the kids love to ride their bikes and their little scooters and things outside in the neighborhood. So our daily life is probably not that different than your daily life. We're just in Cambodia where it's hotter. And we have a busy household with all of our young kids right now. And we're grateful that our kids have been able to develop a lot of good friendships over the past couple years. Both with, these are a few other children of some of our teammates, Hannah and Asa, but then different Cambodian people that we've met as well. They've been able to bond with some of the children of those Cambodians that we've had over to our house at different times. So we're really grateful. Our kids have transitioned really well to Cambodia. They have, for them, Cambodia is where they have lived most of their lives, and so it's their home. That's what they consider their home. They're happy to be back in America and to spend time with their grandparents, but they also, I think, have really grown fond of Cambodia, and hopefully we'll be looking forward to going back when we do return. So that's the end of our presentation. Maybe I'll just, if you have a few quick questions that anybody wants to ask, I'll open it up. I'll also just mention, we send out a newsletter every 1 to 2 months. If you are interested in that, you can write your name and your email on this, or if you wanted to scan that, you could as well. And then I also have some prayer cards here. Feel free to grab some of these. This is just a picture of our family and a little info about what we're doing on the back. And then I've got some magnets. Feel free to take one of those if you want. And if you want some, look at some Cambodian money. Feel free to take these too. This is worth like a penny. You can have them if you want, just to have some Cambodian money. So anyway, that's a little glimpse of our life and ministry in Cambodia. And I think we're about out of time, but maybe I'll just take one or two questions if people want to ask any. But if not, that's okay. I'll be here later. You can ask as well. So. Generally, they don't have a lot of pianos in Cambodia because those are more expensive, and Cambodia is a very poor country, so they generally don't. Guitars are very common, I would say, and they have this little drum that you can sit on. I think they call it the kajon or something. I forget how to pronounce it, but they often play that. Some churches have little drum sets, but yeah. Well, our church, we have a guitar and some drums that we use, and actually a keyboard. We have a keyboard at our church, but it depends. But I think most churches will try to use some type of instrument, whether it's a guitar or something else, just to help, so it's not a cappella. But did you have a question?
I was thinking about the drums, like how they were
like
the old church.
Oh, yeah, we do it. We did, yeah, so our church does have a drum set, and actually we found their music is very loud for us, which is not our favorite. They tend to, let me see if I can find that picture here or not. You can see there a little bit, they have the drum set, and this is our church, but it tends to be very loud music. I don't know if that's their style or if that's just the young people. I'm not quite sure, but
I'll take one.
Cambodia is a very poor country. Most people make a few $100 a month. Probably $200 or $300 a month. There are some people there's a small percentage that are very, very wealthy, very rich, but the majority of people are very poor. They live off just a few $100s a month. And I think there's starting to be a little bit more of a middle class, but right now there's not really much of a middle class. It's mostly either have a ton of money or you have very little money, and most people are very poor. So, yeah. Yeah, well, okay, one more. Yeah.
Is there a problem with sanitation?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's a very good point. I mean, I think there definitely is a problem. I mean, you have to be very careful, especially with fruits and vegetables. We wash our fruits and vegetables very thoroughly. We're very careful with them because you can get a lot of sicknesses and stuff. With our meat, we usually don't buy it from the local markets. We go to, there are some grocery stores in Phnom Penh because the city has grown a lot. So there are some supermarkets we can go to where everything's refrigerated. So that's where we buy most of our meat. Cambodians usually are able to tell if it's still safe to eat, if it's fresh or if it's not. I don't know because I didn't grow up like that. I didn't grow up visiting the markets and but yeah, you still, I always get nervous when I'm eating food that Cambodians are giving to me because I don't always know how well it has been cleaned or if it's fresh or not. So you just pray, God, please sanctify this food and to my body. So, okay, thank you. Okay. Generally, I don't think it's super friendly. The two countries, I don't think, really like each other a whole lot. You know, it borders Cambodia, so they're very close to each other geographically, but I don't think they're, generally speaking, I'm just talking in general terms, that Cambodians and people from Vietnam, I don't think they're on super friendly relations with each other. But I hope that the viewpoint is different within the church and that the Christian Cambodians, I think they're probably more positive towards foreigners and outsiders from Vietnam and so forth. But yeah. Okay. Well, thank you again for this time. And I'll be open for questions. Feel free to come take any of this stuff or ask me questions later. I'll be here for the lunch after the service as well. So thanks again. Yeah, let me close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you again for this opportunity to be together, for the opportunity to get a little glimpse and picture of what is happening in Cambodia and the work that you are doing there. And we pray now that as we prepare our hearts to worship you this morning, that you would bless us and cause our worship to be pleasing in your sight. We pray, Lord, that you would draw us closer to Christ and increase our faith and our love for you through this time of worship. We thank you and ask in Christ's name. Amen.